Okay. Welcome back to What the Health Radio. My name is Aaron Bonilla. I'm your host on air for a phone interview. I have the master of Blue Dragon Qigong, Dr. George Xavier Love.
How's everyone doing today?
All right, Sifu. So I did not have the chance. I was hoping to give a little bit of a brief rundown as far as the orientation of the intention with medical Qigong, this, that, and the third. And I had a listener call in, so I was not able to run that process. So the floor is yours to build from the ground up.
Well, why don't you do the introduction?
Well, I know, obviously, now the pressure's on, right? Because my teacher is directly listening to me. But basically, my journey with medical Qigong has been the fact that I've been training martial arts and boxing, you know, since I was 16, 17 years old. And it got to the point that I got tired of beating up my body. I got, you know, I'm looking at some of my friends or teachers and these things, and some of them have some pretty serious injuries, or, you know, they did all that hard work to then have suffering from a range of motion or other issues. And I got tired of cultivating those physically violent energies solely. And it just got to the point when I was living in China and training daily with different masters, and I just hit this bottom line of, I don't want to be a Kung Fu master. I am, you know, there's other things I can do. I can keep fit and healthy just by eating right and jogging and, you know, hitting some weights and train a little bit for range of motion. But, you know, the dedication and the discipline, when I felt no reason learning all these moves, all these forms, all these techniques. And when I started working with Dr. Love on the beach in Boca Raton, Florida, he was able, you know, the bottom line was everything I learned martial also has a medical application. Certain little twists and flips and body alignments, all these things have a full circle effect as to, you know, internally massaging organs, moving lymph nodes, stretching and strengthening tendons, ligaments, joints. And I had no appreciation for that process because the picture was never painted that that was the value.
Mm-hmm.
And what I understand, because I've studied other types of Qigong, is medical Qigong is purely the intent of, on a daily basis, getting your body back in line, back in order, so that everything's flushing properly, everything's moving, lymph nodes draining, spinal fluid is moving up and down appropriately, stretching, full range of motion. So that's pretty much where I'm at, Sifu.
That is fabulous. I'm very happy the way you explained that.
No pressure. No pressure at all.
So the issue is very simply, if you were going to invent human beings, would you invent them so that they would have to break down and go see doctors, or would you invent them so they were self-repairing?
Well, obviously, self-repairing, right? I mean, we all have some type of acknowledgement that we repair anyway. Cuts, bruises.
Okay. So, do you know the very first medicine that was discovered?
I'm going to gamble breath.
Do you know the very first disease that was discovered?
I'm going to gamble death.
The very first disease was indigestion, and the very first medicine was hot water.
I can see that.
I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, if we are self-repairing, the problem is how we choose to feed ourselves. Mm-hmm. Okay? So now, my training is based on Tibetan Buddhism, and my patron saint is the medicine Buddha, who is painted blue and has in his hands an herb that he carries, and it's called the father of all medicine. And when I did my...
Just to clarify, particularly this resonates with me as a religious studies major, that information at this moment is being shared for the cultural aspect of the socio-cultural historical development of the thought of medicine, right? As opposed to saying one need to develop or convert, if I would like to use that word, religions. Because I know a lot of people close ears really quick when it comes to the thought of dealing with information from another culture that has any form of religious spin.
Okay, so just to clarify, Buddhism is not a religion. Repeat after me. Buddhism is not a religion.
Buddhism is not
One more time. One more time. Buddhism is not a religion.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and we'll get into what Buddhism is in a minute, but it's not a religion. So, the word Buddha means I am awake. So if I am awake, then that means I am mindful, and that means I know what I'm doing in my life, and I know what I'm putting in my body. And the medicine Buddha is painted blue, and he holds in his hand Indian gooseberry fruit, which, if you look it up, it says myrobalam fruit. And if you look that up, you'll find Trifala. And if you look that up, you'll find Ayurvedic medicine for chronic constipation. So the consequence of indigestion is constipation. So the Buddha traveled and awakened people. Now, what does that mean? He awakened people. He exposed people to their true nature. That's not a religion. That's just waking people up. And we do that with our friends, don't we, Aaron?
That's why I have this show.
Right. So you are practicing Buddhism right now by attempting to wake people up. That's not a religion.
Well, the entire thing is, there's different metaphors throughout cultures, right? I mean, even to put it in terms of Christianity, you know, Jesus says, I am the light, right? That is a metaphor for that which illuminates in darkness. In other words, bringing knowledge to ignorance.
Okay. So, since you're a religious studies major, we're going to digress for 30 seconds. And we're going to ask you, did Jesus want a religion named after him?
Oh, this is a deep-seated question. I don't know if we have enough time on the show for that. But my favorite perspective was more, you know, where Jesus said, these things and more you too shall accomplish with faith the size of a grain of mustard. And by that meaning, to make one small shift and plant a small seed can generate a whole new paradigm, and you could recognize that the kingdom of God is housed within you, which is similar to...
Okay, you're taking it in another direction. You're going into the words of Jesus, and I asked you a very simple question.
Right.
Did he want a religion named after him?
I don't know.
And the answer is absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely not, because I've read his writings a little more deeply and intensely for 40 years longer than you have. And I can say with certainty he did not want a religion named after him. So we're not going to go into Jesus. We're going to stick with being awake and being mindful about what we put in our bodies to reverse poor health conditions.
Right.
Okay? So if the first disease was indigestion, and the first medicine was hot water, which then created constipation. The second medicine was tea. So drinking Chinese tea, Japanese tea, Indonesian tea, Indian tea, whatever that is, was actually a medicine for digestion. And then people have a tendency to overeat, eat too much, eat too fast, and then they get constipated, and then they need the Indian gooseberry fruits, of which there are three different Indian gooseberry fruits that grow in three different parts of India. So as the teacher traveled, he collected the various fruits and mixed them together and powdered them, and that is why it's called Trifala, or the three fruits, are the cure for constipation. Now, in Chinese medicine, the lungs are paired with the large intestine. So if you have constipation, it means you are not breathing properly. So if I cure your constipation, I can then teach you how to meditate and send energy into your large intestine through your breath. So I am teaching you how to breathe and how to heal your body. That is the purpose of the medicine Buddha that has absolutely nothing to do with religion.
Right. And okay? I like that distinction very much because it's about the application of indigenous information from other parts of the world.
Exactly. Okay. Now, most people did not have access to public transportation or vehicles like cars and trucks and buses. So everybody had to walk. Even rich people had to walk. So there was a certain amount of general physical fitness that everyone had. Now, as you accumulate wealth, you have a tendency to live a little bit longer. And when you live a little bit longer, then you notice the deterioration of the body. So the breath is the first thing that deteriorates. The kidneys are the next thing that deteriorates. The blood circulation is the next that deteriorates. And then digestion is the next thing that deteriorates. So over time, the Chinese noticed there was a process of degeneration. So the kidneys control the bones, the head hair, the brain, the memory, the bone marrow, the joints, and the sex drive. So the Chinese held great importance around longevity in the kidneys. So they made a distinction between kidney yin, which is the filtration function, and kidney yang, which is the neuroendocrine function of the kidneys. Now, most people may not know that the adrenal glands sit on top of the kidney. So ad is above, renal is kidney. So the adrenals sit on top of the kidney. When the lungs expand, the lungs push down on the kidney, which compresses the adrenal glands and makes them feel comforted. So if I grab you and hug you, you say, oh, that feels good, Dr. Love. So as the lungs expand, it calms and relaxes the nervous system. So as I breathe, I can actually relax my own nervous system. Wow.
Mm-hmm. That 10 deep breaths right there.
There you go. So as I move, as I walk around, then I want to do it in such a way that it not only expands my lungs, that it also heals my heart and my adrenals. So now I'm going to develop particular movements that access the muscles, that access the meridians, that access the organs, that access the emotions that caused the muscles to contract in the first place. Now, that's a lot of meditation to come up with that one. So, there is a particular one, for the lungs, another one for the kidneys, another one for the heart, the pericardium, which is the envelope of the heart, and the liver. So as we learn those five particular qigong exercises, we can literally heal our own bodies, and what's more important is that we can teach ourselves how to heal other people. Now, that's what's amazing. So, qigong, from my perspective, is like taking an internal shower. Now, most people take a shower every day. I'm sure our listeners are nodding. Even college students take a shower every day. So you clean the outside, but what causes the dirt on the outside is the toxins that come through the pores of the skin. And then those toxins leave a residue, and that is what we wash off, and that's what causes the skin cells to flake off. So when you're doing a cleansing of the inside, it reduces your body odor on the outside. Now, a lot of people say, I don't need qigong, Dr. Love. I do yoga. And I said, oh, good. That's fabulous. How often do you do yoga? And they say, oh, at least once every 2 weeks. And I'm like, oh, well, how many times do you eat? Oh, I eat 3-4 times a day. Uh-huh. And how many times do you take a shower? Oh, sometimes twice a day. But you only do yoga once every 2 weeks. Oh, yeah. So at that point, I'm shaking my head, rolling my eyes, and giving them the sideways glance. Because if you don't clean the inside, who cares about the outside?
Yeah, and that's obviously, on the first show, I'd done the four tenets of health, as put forth by the sleeping prophet Edgar Cayce. And he had said the four things are breath, circulation, what you intake, and excretion. So you're touching on those two components, right, as far as how often do you eat, right? How often are you intaking? Okay, now with that, how are you keeping your system moving to practice breathing properly, to stimulate circulation and blood flow, lymphatic drainage within the body, and ensure efficient detox and passing of that which is doesn't belong in your system.
Mm-hmm. So the issue for us is, how can I learn to put that into practice on a daily basis to cultivate my own energy? Now, just think back 120 years ago. Most people had a garden in the backyard. I know my grandmother did. Mm-hmm. And so that garden, she grew tomatoes and peppers and cabbage and lettuce. And so the only thing she had to go to the store for was rice and beans and maybe a chicken. But most of the time, she raised her own chickens in the backyard. So you learn how to cultivate. You learn how to take care of the tomatoes. You learn how to take care of the cucumbers. You learn how to take care of the peppers. And that's what we call cultivation. So the word husband means farmer. So the man is husband to the land. The man is the farmer to the land. And so now culturally, we've misappropriated that word husband, and we use it in a relationship context. But I can prove the original use, because we talk about animal husbandry. how to cultivate animals. So we need to learn how to cultivate ourselves. And that is where medical Qigong comes into play. So my job is to teach you how to cultivate your own energy, how to cultivate your breath, how to cultivate your movement so that your muscles remain strong, move electromagnetic energy through your meridians, move that into the organs to improve the function of the organs, and shift your emotional imbalances. So that is an entire process. It takes about a year to learn, about a year, and then the rest of your life to perfect it.
Mm-hmm. Daily practice and maintenance, just like anything else.
Like anything else. So people say, well, after I come to you, will I be fixed? And I say, what's your favorite basketball team? Do they still practice? Or do they just, like, just show up for the game?
Unless their name is Allen Iverson, yeah?
Unless their name is Allen Iverson, they're going to practice. So what makes you better than your favorite sports team? You have to practice every single day. If you eat every day and you go to the bathroom every day and you take a shower every day, then you have to cultivate your internal every day. But it's not part of our culture. It's not part of our thinking. It's not part of our training. So we are a nation of 300 plus million people, of which 60% are ill. 60% of the population is clinically obese. That means they're more than 20% over their normal body weight. 50% of the population has chronic pain. 50% of the population suffers from anxiety and depression. So and some of those overlap. Oh, and I forgot, 20% of the population is addicted to drugs or alcohol or both. So we have pharmaceutical drugs, we have recreational drugs, and then we have alcohol. That's 20%. That's 1 out of 5. Those are huge numbers. So in my book, everybody's sick. Now, David Satcher was the only man who was simultaneously Secretary of Health Services and Surgeon General of the United States at the same time. The only one. And he did it for 8 years under Clinton. Now, when he retired, they asked him, what did he think was his biggest achievement? And he said, hands down, the white paper I did on mental health. Now, what is a white paper? I'm sure a college student should know what a white paper is. But it's basically a research, a collection of research, which then gets disseminated as the Surgeon General. And what he said is, your physical health is dependent on your mental health. Now, I'm going to say that one more time because I don't think it's sunk in deep enough. You cannot be physically ill unless you're mentally ill first. Because as a human being, your job is survival. That's your job. Stay alive. So if you've got pain, anxiety, depression, and obesity, then you're kind of short-circuiting your life there. So to cut to the chase, Aaron asked me, well, what's the one thing we can do, Dr. Love, to help all these people who are in pain and mentally ill? And my answer is?
Qigong.
Qigong.
Yeah, I remember this conversation.
So if you were God, and if you were going to invent human beings, what happened to the self-repair manual that you created for your people? What happened to that self-repair manual? Well, I guess the doctor cut it off your big toe when you were born.
You know, you see animals even in nature, right? Just taking it on a more primitive level, that they're constantly stretching. They're constantly rolling on their backs. They're constantly, you know, they have, at what point do we stop playing, right? Because little kids, they'll be wrestling, they'll be jumping, they'll be climbing. There's a full range of motion that takes place every single day. Where the reason for these disciplines now is because you have to cultivate the habit to maintain the discipline, because most people's job involves standing, sitting, and at night they lay down. And everything from that point is a mental stress, right? Interpreting information, staring at a computer screen, you know, being mindful while driving, avoiding potential risks, right? It takes, so it's like not only are we not physically moving, but then we're generating all these stress input, sensory input that the body's receiving cues from, but then there's no physical action to alleviate it.
So how can we codify something like medical qigong and then have it disseminated in the public is by creating a career path for that. And that is my purpose, is to create a career path.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Doc. Gonna have to start wrapping it up on the show here, but if anybody has any questions, I put up Dr. Love's link on the What the Health Radio Facebook group. You can reach out to him directly or send me a message, and everything else is we'll continue that. Definitely look forward to hearing from you next week. Oh, actually, next week I'm gonna be on spring break, and then I'm gonna do. There should be a chance to have a bit of a recorded segment prior, so that next week is the. Looking at the calendar here, the 7th, there isn't going to be the show. And then the 14th, my intention at this point is to have a recorded show that'll be played in the same time slot. So for all my listeners out there on a regular basis, give you the quick 411. But thank you so much, Dr. Love, for touching base. I'm posting up some of the links on Facebook now. And I've shared your Blue Dragon Qigong page on the What the Health Radio. So, thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, my brother. All right, talk to you
peace.
Soon.
Bye-bye. All right. And we're going to be heading straight immediately. Going to take a quick break while I get my final guest on the show this week. Going to have her do a short spliff, just basically talking about what it is that she offers. And what it's basically a local resource that people are going to be able to turn to in order to find somebody that's offering a chance for them to get oriented, something like I'm doing here on this show, but in a daily physical institutional way. So we will be right back.